The Resurrection of Moses. Commentary for the December 25th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." Numbers 20, verse 12. Have you ever felt exhausted from having chronic pain and anxiety, from dealing with everything that seemed to be continually tugging at your resources and your physical strength? We try to do right and provide for the future for ourselves and all those depending upon us. Along the way, we make mistakes that cling to us like barnacles to a ship's hull. And those mistakes further frustrate our efforts. We may have tried to appear as perfect as possible, knowing that any sign of weakness or failure on our part can come with a heavy price, burdening our efforts to achieve the goals that we desire for ourselves and those who depend upon us. Sometimes it can seem like we are racing to remain at least one step ahead before it all comes crashing down. We know where our foundations are unstable sand. Sleepless nights remind us of how we got where we are and the compromises we made in the process. We may look back over our lives and lament the foolish arrogance of younger years when we thought we could ride the tiger and come away without a scratch. But our scars tell a different story. Wisdom can come at a high price, and the price is not negotiable. While Genesis tells us that we have the knowledge of good and evil due to the fall in the Garden of Eden, knowledge is not wisdom. We may even unwisely pursue knowledge, as that event shows. Moses had access to all the educational resources of Egypt as a young man, yet failed to deliver a single Israelite from slavery, ending up in exile instead. We know how he spent the next 40 years tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, a priest in Midian. Somehow during that time he went from being an arrogant noble in Egypt to becoming the meekest of men. There is something about tending sheep that imparts wisdom enough to lead a people out of bondage, or elevate a boy to become king over Israel, like David. There is so much wisdom gained through interacting with the flock that even Jesus repeatedly referred to sheep in his parables and modeled himself as the good shepherd. Sheep, and even our household pets, teach us much about ourselves and God's compassion and love for us. When we are young, we can hardly wait to become independent. Getting our driver's license and moving away from home become hallmarks of that independence. We want to be in charge. We know we can avoid the mistakes of previous generations if they would just step aside and let us run things with the advanced knowledge of our generation. But when our sandcastles come crashing to the ground, the next generation after us quickly say, "We could foresee it would happen." But intrinsic to human folly is the ability to see the errors of our forebears, but not our own. Those must be pointed out by those who come after with each generation. Rare is a young person who can say to their parents or grandparents, "I seem to be no more able to learn from the mistakes of the past than you were." Each generation seems destined to wander behind the sheep for decades before they find the humility that leads to wisdom. Those who would be great, compassionate leaders find that the school of compassion teaches through the care of lesser beings that are more honest about their needs and feelings. Sheep, cats, dogs, and other animals recognize instinctively humanity's original dominion over creation, and do not hesitate to tell us when they are hungry, hurting, or scared. they also respond easily with contentment and love when those needs are met. The bond of that love is strong, and cats and dogs often follow their owners as faithfully as a sheep follows its shepherd. Unfortunately, in our own weakness, when we are tired, in pain, or anxious, we fail to respond appropriately to our animals' trust in our care for them. Too many experience abuse, verbally or physically, in these moments. And as with animals, so it is with our fellow human beings. Who has not been short with another? Whether we cross the line into abuse, the water flows from the same poisonous fountain. Once tasted, it can never be untasted, and will go on to hurt us for years to come, even to the end of our days. We have adopted several animals over the years from animal shelters. All of them have written on their personalities the treatment they endured from previous owners. Some adapt quickly, while others, scarred with trauma followed by abandonment, can take years to feel comfortable again. Even then, an unidentified trigger can bring it all back to them. One of our cats, a male Siamese, suffers post-traumatic stress whenever he hears Velcro. We cannot even guess what experience scarred him like that. When he first came to us, he was also extremely frightened of feet. Fortunately, that fear has mostly subsided. Moses, an experienced shepherd, found himself leading the largest flock he had ever shepherded with the Exodus from Egypt. But these were more than simply innocent sheep who were ready and willing to follow their shepherd to good pasture. This new flock had been severely traumatized through the rigors and abuses of slavery. Doubtless, like the inmates of places like Auschwitz, some were willing to betray everyone around them if it meant their chances of survival could increase even by an iota. These were people who had learned through generations to blame their masters for everything bad that came into their lives. Therefore, they naturally blamed Moses for everything that threatened them. They had completely abandoned the idea of loving God with all their being and loving their neighbors as they loved themselves. Like children learning to walk and talk, they needed to have everything spelled out for them in detail. It was not enough to have the two great commandments in Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. They needed the details of the Decalogue and the many rules about personal hygiene, diet, health care, and sanitation that were all based on those two great commandments of love. Even today, we still struggle with this. When we learn we are to love, we cavil about the meaning. We get all tied up in the various Greek terms for love, as though we are looking for loopholes we can exploit so we do not have to really commit to the idea of becoming compassionate and humble in our relationships with others. God is impressive with his patience with all of this. It shows how important that is to him. But Moses, worn out by the constant struggle, failed to model that patience at Meribah, where he struck the rock to bring forth water. Instead of modeling love and compassion for them, he chided them in a manner that revealed a reluctance to care for their needs. But God had fed them, cared for their clothing and shoes, and intervened for every emergency. Therefore, Moses' model of God's character at Meribah fell short. Some interpret God's response as a punishment for Moses. But as I grow old myself and face the exhaustion and weariness of age, I feel maybe a different dynamic was happening. God was recognizing that Moses had done so much for so long that now he needed to come home to rest and heal. Those who were stronger and younger, Caleb and Joshua, could now assume the burdens he had been carrying for decades. The battles to come were for younger men to pursue. Three things confirm for me that God was not interested in punishing Moses. First, he readily granted Moses' wish to at least see the promised land from Pisgah. Second, Moses willingly gave up his life in the arms of the Lord, trusting in his compassionate grace for his future. Third, Moses was honored with being present upon the Mount of Transfiguration to comfort and sustain Jesus over the trials to come as he steadfastly strode toward the cross and his own proclamation of freedom for those held in bondage. Wearing chains they could not see and the scars of abuse they barely recognized as such anymore, humanity's inability to recognize the hour of their visitation was something Moses understood well. He also understood the tremendous price about to be paid by Jesus and how worthwhile it would be. We have no record of the words of comfort he spoke to Jesus on that mount, but they echoed whatever words of comfort God spoke to him on Pisgah. God's loving character still speaks today, and when God speaks, wisdom rides on the wind. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find other podcasts as well as the written versions of each at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.